নির্ভর ধরে, যশোদা নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যশোদা নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যমুনা চির বন চারি, যমুনা চির বন চারি, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, জয় ওম শিবম সুবদরাজকাচার্য অষ্টতর সতসি শ্রীমদ এসি ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী মহারাজ শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কী, জয় ওম শিবম সুবদরাজকাচার্য স্তোতর সতসি শ্রীমদ ভক্তি সিদ্ধান্ত সারসী ঠাকুর প্রভুপাদ কী, অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণবৃন্দ কী, ইসকন ফাউন্ডার আচার্য শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কী, নাম আচার্য শ্রীল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কী, প্রেম সকহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শ্রীবাস শ্রী গোভক্ত বৃন্দ কে, শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপ গোপীনা শ্যাম খুন রাধা খুন গিরি গোবদান কে, বৃন্দাবন দাম কে নবদ্বীপ দাম কে, গঙ্গা মায়ে কে যমুনা মায়ে কে তুলসী দেবী কে ভক্তি দেবী কে সমবেদ ভক্ত বৃন্দ কে, all glories to assemble devotees, all glories to assemble devotees, all glories to assemble devotees, all glories to Sisi Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, The Activities of the Prachetas, Text 33. Yavate Mayaya Sprishta Brahmama Iha Karmabhi Tavad Bhavat Prasanganam Sangasya No Bhave Bhave Yavate Mayaya Sprishta Brahmama Iha Karmabhi Tavad Bhavat Prasanganam Sangasya No Bhave Bhave Yavate Mayaya Sprishta Brahmama Iha Karmabhi Tavad Bhavat Prasanganam Sangasya no bhave bhave. Vaishnavis. As long as
Your
Mayaya
by the illusory energy
Sprishta
contaminated
Brahmama
we wander
Iha
in this material world
Karma
be
by the reaction of fruitive activities
Tavat
so long.
Bhavat prasanganam
of your loving devotees.
Sangha
association.
Syat
let there be.
Na
our.
Bhave bhave
in every species of life.
Translation.
Dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world, due to our material contamination,
and wander from one type of body to another, and from one planet to another. We pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction, life after life, in different bodily forms and on different planets. Purport. This is the best benediction that a devotee can ask of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Stane stita shruti katam tanuvan manobhi. One may be in one position or another according to destiny, but in any case, one must continue to hear about the activities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, regardless of circumstances. A pure devotee does not pray for liberation or for cessation of the cycle of birth and death, because he does not consider that important. The most important thing for a devotee is getting a chance to hear about the pastimes and glories of the Lord. The devotees who engage in the service of the Lord in this world will have the same opportunity in the spiritual world also. Thus, for a devotee, everything is in the spiritual world for as long as he can hear about the pastimes of the Lord, or wherever he can chant, the Lord is personally present. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. When the pure devotees assembled to chant, hear, and talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the place where they assemble becomes Vaikuntha. For the devotee, there is no need to pray to the Lord for transferal to the Vaikuntha world. A pure devotee can create Vaikuntha or Vrindavan anywhere, simply by chanting the glories of the Lord without offense. The Prachetas pray for an opportunity to hear of the glories of the Lord in every form of life. Bhave, bhave. A living entity transmigrates from one body to another. The devotee is not particularly eager to stop this process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Mama Janmani, Janmani Shrede, Bhavatad, Bhaktir, Ahoyitiki, Choi. My dear Lord, life after life, may I be fixed in your pure devotional service. Out of humility, a devotee considers himself unfit to be transferred to the spiritual world. He always thinks himself contaminated by the modes of material nature. Nor is there any need for a devotee to ask to be freed from the modes of material nature. Devotional service itself is in the transcendental position. Therefore, there is no question of asking for this special facility. The conclusion is that a pure devotee is not anxious to stop the repetition of birth and death, but is always eager to associate with other devotees who are engaged in chanting and hearing about the glories of the Lord. Translation again. Repeat after me, please. Dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world, due to our material contamination, and wander from one type of body to another, and from one planet to another, we pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction, life after life, in different bodily forms, and on different planets. Om Agana Chimirandasya Gananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Today I would like to discuss with you a very high subject matter. In fact, the secret of bhakti mysticism. We've heard in this purport about destination consciousness. How it is that the highest standard of devotion is not about striving to go back to the spiritual world, but instead we strive to always be in a situation where we can glorify Krishna in the association of devotees. This may seem a little difficult to understand, and it may seem quite beyond us. Wait a minute, aren't we supposed to be aiming for going back to Godhead? Yes, but at the deepest mysticism of bhakti, going back to Godhead means going back to devotional service and chanting Krishna's glories to the extent that the potency transforms wherever you are into BTG, back to Godhead. This takes a while for us to grasp because we have to deal with our motivations in chanting. Those of you who have read Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially Adi Lila, chapter 7, you can remember Lord Chaitanya explaining to Prakashananda Saraswati why he chants Hare Krishna and what are the effects of chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna mantra, japa sada, a mantra sa. Mahaprabhu explains that my spiritual master told me chanting Hare Krishna is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. And furthermore, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you can become free from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you'll see the lotus feet of the Lord. So, sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Freedom from material existence, seeing the lotus feet of the Lord, this is what we should be striving for. This is our motivation. But what is this? You hear a purport like this, out of this world purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. I'm not supposed to worry about being transferred to the spiritual world. And in fact, I'm not even supposed to be anxious to stop the repetition of birth and death. What is this? And out of humility, I should consider myself unfit to be transferred to the spiritual world. We are being presented with the Brijbasi standard of bhakti, in which everything is 100% for Krishna's pleasure. That means even when we chant Hare Krishna, we are simply aspiring for service to Krishna. However Krishna wants the service, wherever Krishna wants the service. Whether we chant, or while we're chanting, and engaging in devotional service, our goal is not liberation. Our goal is not even to go to the spiritual world. I remember Srila Prabhupada explaining this point to some book distributors in Atlanta. What's the difference between, in the case of this particular service, distributing books to go to the spiritual world, and pure execution of that service? In our case, we can take it whatever service we're doing. What is the pure motivation? Astonishingly, Srila Prabhupada explained, just as he's explained in this purport, and just as the previous acharyas have explained, like Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explained that doing the service, in this case, book distribution, for the sake of going to Krishna is selfish. Selfish? Doing this service for the sake of transferring to the spiritual world. It's a selfish motivation. What is the standard of true bhakti? That standard is wherever Krishna wants me to do the service. However Krishna wants me to do service, that's what I'll do. If he wants me to go back to God, and I'll go. If he wants me to stay in the material, I'll stay. In any case, my business is the same. Simply engaging in devotional service. No matter what form of life, no matter what planet. So this makes us think very deeply about the immeasurable gift that we're given. The Vrindavan mood. Everything for Krishna's pleasure. Regardless of how Krishna wants it or when Krishna wants it. We have to be careful about our motivations in chanting Hare Krishna. In that, we should know the depths of the Maha Mantra that are available to us. Naturally, in the beginning, we all want freedom from material existence. But as we become more experienced in devotional service, we start to see that there's something beyond wanting freedom from material existence. There's even something beyond my wanting to do a particular service. I'll give you an example of how what seems to be a satisfactory motivation in chanting can actually turn out to be offensive. Srila Prabhupada tells the story from his childhood that there was a great drought in Calcutta and no one knew what to do materially. They couldn't stop the drought. But one sadhu had the idea, we'll start Harinam Sankirtan and we'll go from house to house in the city and engage the residents of each house in chanting Harinam Sankirtan. So they came to Srila Prabhupada's house. He said, I remember, because I was just a little boy and I can only see everyone's knees, and they were all dancing in my house. For the purpose of stopping the drought. So then he explained that the drought did stop. So you say, wow, the Harinam Sankirtan worked. But he explained further, this is offensive chanting. This is chanting for the sake of some material benefit. So then we say, well, doesn't the Bhagavatam recommend that? What's the use of so many planning conferences? What's the use of so many world leaders trying to get together for peace? It'll never happen. Simply come together in Harinam Sankirtan. That point is made throughout the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. People are crying out for peace. There are hot and cold wars going on all the time. What are we going to do? The solution is coming together and glorifying Krishna. But you see, there's a very subtle difference between the motivation of coming together to glorify Krishna and the motivation of chanting Hare Krishna to accomplish some material purpose. So certainly, we would love to have Harinam Sankirtan where there's some great world conference for peace or economic this or political that. We seize that opportunity, but at the same time, we're not chanting, we're not doing kirtan to achieve a material purpose. And now we hear that we're not even chanting Hare Krishna for the sake of going back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is giving us the highest. Just as Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur did, just as Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. We're being handed the Vrindavan standard for devotional service. Just like, for example, when Uddhava was departing Vrindavan, he had accomplished his purpose. He's so expert, he's sent by Krishna to resolve problems even in Vrindavan. So he's about to leave. And because he's Uddhava, he leaves in such a perfectly expert way. He perceives the various levels of prema in Vrindavan and gives his farewell in that way. He starts with the gopis, the most intense lovers of Krishna. Then he goes to Mother Yashoda, then Nanda Maharaj, and then the cowherd men, the cowherd elders of Vrindavan. Uddhava goes to each cowherd man. He goes to each cowherd man and says, they, Yashoda Mai and Nandamaraj, they have given me permission, so I'm now departing. So perfectly devotionally tactful. They have given me permission, so I'm departing now. He goes to each cowherd man and says that. And then he even goes to the cows. The acharyas point out he even goes to the cows and asks permission for departure. The Brijbasis come to him loaded with gifts. First of all, they have paraphernalia used by Krishna or gifts given to Krishna. Jewelry, gold coins, clothes. Krishna's in Mathura, so the Brijbasis are thinking, what can we do with all this paraphernalia? They're feeling intense separation from Krishna. We give this to you, Uddhava, as gifts. And then they brought gifts to give to Krishna. Mother Yashoda sent exquisite milk products with her personal stamp on them. They brought gifts for Vasudeva and Devaki, for Balaram. And there were tears in their eyes as they were giving these gifts to Uddhava for him to distribute. And then Nanda Maharaj asks Uddhava, can you please bless us so that with our tongues we're always chanting Krishna's glory? With our minds, we're always taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. With our body, we're always bowing down to Krishna and offering to do menial service. And then he says a very interesting thing. Bless us that wherever we may wander, due to the force of karma, we'll always be attached to Krishna. So this wandering is a very important description of our activities in material existence. As we heard in the verse today, dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world, due to our material contamination, and wander from one type of body to another, and from one planet to another, this same wandering was addressed in the wrap-up to the incident where Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, was taken by surprise to the watery kingdom of Varuna. We'll start at the point where they're about to leave Varuna's region. Krishna was actually pleased, even though Varuna had kidnapped his father, kidnapped Nanda Maharaj, and brought him there. Krishna was pleased, unlike in the case of Indra, who, when he interfered with Krishna Leela, it was not Krishna's pleasure. But Krishna knew, Varuna just wants to see me. He just wants to worship me. It's all right. And he's even worshipped my father. It's all right. So when Krishna and Nanda Maharaj reemerged on the bank of the Jamuna, the cowherd men were there assembled, the elders of the village. And Nanda Maharaj began to explain to them in astonishment, did you see what I... Let me tell you what I saw. I saw Varuna, the deva of the oceans, and he's worshiping Krishna, my boy. And not only was Varuna there, there were other devas there too. They're worshiping Krishna. That was amazing. And the opulence. I couldn't believe the unlimited opulence that I saw. So the cowherd men started thinking, Now, it's been said, they began to discuss, very important conference in Vrindavan. They began to discuss that sometimes we would think that your son, Krishna, is equal to Narayan. Didn't Gargarishi say something like that? Your boy will be equal to Narayan. But actually, from what you've told us, we can now understand he is Narayan. He is a Supreme Personality Godhead. So we've got some questions for him. Now try to understand that they're totally overwhelmed by praying. And this metaphysical speculation and benediction asking is all going on within the ocean of praying. They're purely motivated. Everything for Krishna's pleasure, and whatever they're doing is for Krishna's pleasure. So, this boy is, he's a Supreme Personality Godhead. What are you going to do about that? We should ask for a benediction. One said, I want liberation. Another said, I want to be a resident of Vaikuntha. So Krishna's watching all this and thinking, they are considering that the opulence of Varuna, even the opulence of the Brahman effulgence, even Vaikuntha is superior to where they're at in Bhoma Vrindavan. This is quite interesting. Krishna began to think to himself, Jantravai loka etasmin avidya kama karma bhi. Isn't it interesting that living entities wander here and there in various superior and inferior forms? That means superior as demigods, inferior human beings, animals. Isn't it so interesting how they wander from body to body based on avidya, ignorance, kama, desire, and karma bhi, karmic activities? Isn't this so interesting? They don't know what their destination is. They just wander. So this is Krishna doing double talk. He's, as you may know, he's speaking about the wanderings of conditioned souls, and he's speaking about his own eternal associates who are bewildered by Yogamaya. So much so that they don't understand that Vrindavan is the peak of existence. Because they're caught up in the human-like pastimes of Krishna, and they're caught up, they're absorbed in their role as human beings, although they're the eternal associates of Krishna. So Krishna's watching all this. Isn't this interesting? Then again, we can take the verse, as the Acharyas point out, to apply to conditioned souls who are certainly motivated by avidya, ignorance, kama, material desire, and karma bhi, driven by the reaction to fruitive activities. They have no idea what their destination will be. They don't even have any idea what's going on in the circumstances of their present birth. Just like you can see, the whole world today is in the grip of the threat from nuclear warfare and climate change. But who can do anything about it? You have leaders of nations antagonizing one another. My nuclear button is bigger than your nuclear button. Or we've got missiles that can reach every city in your country. Or by having nuclear weapons, our nation has more self-respect. All this is going on, and what can human beings today do about it? They talk. Climate change, nuclear, the threat of nuclear annihilation. No one can do anything about it. One very prominent Western social psychologist has coined the term psychic numbing. People are numbed, or you could say dumbed down, so much so that they can't even respond to threats that are so obvious. So this is what happens as they wander from body to body. They can't even cope with the circumstances, the present circumstances of their birth. What to speak of what the next life will be? I sometimes tell the story. I was visiting my family. They're based in Michigan, though originally from New York. And as a sannyasi, I do my 48-hour visit every year. And my family is staunchly Christian. So, I can't say much, and I'm just thinking, when can I get out the door and go get some prasad and get a chance to hear kirtan and bhagavatam? I mean, all glories to the family. When is this 48-hour visit per year going to end? I'm just being honest. It's my ashram, you know. It's not the style for everyone. But so sometimes, because my material family is, you would say they're pious and absorbed in Christianity. Sometimes they have discussions. We're going home! We're going home! Or so-and-so just died. He or she went home! Went home! And so, as a young devotee 40 years ago, of course, I would have probably said something like, well, can you tell me about home, what goes on there? But in 40 years, hopefully we've matured a bit. And so I appreciate that they have some vague concept that there's a supreme destination. I brought up just recently, in a mood of being ecumenical and interfaith, I said, Mother, do you know, I won't mention his name, do you know what the most famous evangelical or Christian preacher in American history, do you know what he said? Oh, my boy, very nice. You're being shastric. You're quoting from the Acharyas. I said, he said that when he gets to heaven, I said it with a straight face, and I had to say something. When he gets to heaven, they're going to be golden brick roads. And he's going to drive on those golden brick roads in a yellow Cadillac. That's the topmost luxury car in America. And as he's driving on the yellow brick road, the golden road with a yellow Cadillac, he's going to go from one party to another, and at each party, he'll be served by angels. So they all, he said that? I said, yeah, you said that. So I'm kind of doing a double. Yeah, I'm being a little ironic, and at the same time, I'm encouraging them in their bhakti. You know, they're at where they're at. As I said, in my immature days, 40 years ago, I would have probably said something heavier. But our devotees are much better due to the efforts of ISKCON Communications. We understand that we have to communicate in context and sensitively. At the same time, we don't compromise our message. So, it was time for me to go. 48 hours. Getting it out the door. I almost get out the door. They stop me. Oh, prayer circle. Okay. Yeah. Let's be honest. I need all the prayers I can get. And 40 years ago, I would have said, what is this? You know, I'm not praying with meat eaters, this, that, the other. But you know, now, as old age brings wisdom and understanding that they are religious people, and I should encourage them, and they want to pray for me. Who am I? As Prabhupada writes in the purport, a devotee thinks himself contaminated by the modes of material nature. So, yeah, they want to pray for me. Okay. So right before I can get out the door, they form a prayer circle. You have to hold hands. And then my middle brother began a prayer. And I appreciated the prayer. Dear Lord, we wish upon our family member safe travels, and we wish that he finds his way to Jesus and receives salvation. So there I was holding hands, and I was thinking, In my younger days, I would have said something. Bhakti is beyond salvation. But nope, I bit my tongue. We have to have a mature way of dealing in bhakti. This is not the 70s, it's not the 60s. What's wrong with them praying for you? What's wrong with you? You're appreciating their religiosity. So I accepted their prayers and then went to get some prasadam and kirtan. So I bring this up as an example of Krishna saying to himself about the Brijbasis in a double way. These Brijbasis, they don't know what their destination is. They're wandering. How could the Brijbasis be described as having avidya, ignorance? Because they're so absorbed in the sweetness, the madhurya of Krishna's pastimes, that they don't understand they're at the peak of existence. And what about kama? Do they have lust? Do they have material desire? No, they're driven by an acute desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. Then, karma be. Can the Brijbasis have karma? Karmic reactions? No, the acharyas point out. What's happening is that the karma be, referring to them, means they're engaged in favorable activities for Krishna's pleasure. So Krishna is thinking to himself in that way. He's referring both, as we said, to the Brijbasis, and he's also referring to the conditioned souls. Conditioned souls wander due to nescience, due to material desire, due to karma. They go to inferior, superior destinations. They don't have a clue what's going on. So we already explained very briefly how human beings today, what to speak of their destination, they don't understand even their present circumstances. The cowherd men, had made their request. Liberation, residence in Vaikuntha. So Krishna, out of affection, Shukadeva Goswami described him as Mahakarunika, supremely merciful. Oh, they want to see this stuff, eh? I'll show them what is Brahman. I'll show them what is Vaikuntha. So Krishna did that. He, in the apparent process of submerging them in a lake of the Jamuna River, Brahmahrada, he brought them to Brahman. But usually when you merge into Brahman, you're trapped. Can't get out, generally speaking. But because Krishna was doing it, he could bring them out. He could bring his eternal associates out of Brahman realization. And then he showed them Vaikuntha. And past Vaikuntha, he showed them Golok. So what was the coward men's reaction when they saw Goloka? Amazing. This looks just like our hometown. How great is that? It looks the same. In that way, Krishna showed them Goloka Vrindavan, Boma Vrindavan, there's no difference. We're speaking about chanting with the motivation to go back to Godhead or something else. It's astonishing for us that we don't chant Hare Krishna if we're aiming for the depth of bhakti. We don't chant Hare Krishna for going to Vaikuntha or even Goloka Vrindavan. This is the realization, the motivation that we're aspiring for. This is where we're aiming. This is the Vrindavan consciousness in such a way that by having that consciousness, you're already back to Godhead, and you can create Vrindavan anywhere simply by chanting the glories of the Lord without offense. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the same thing. Birth after birth, I don't mind. Even if I'm an insect, Kita Janmao. But let me be an insect in the house of a devotee because there'll be glorification of Krishna there. So sometimes when Srila Prabhupada was explaining this same point that comes down through disciple succession, he was, Vaikuntha, Goloka Vrindavan, what's the need of? What's the need of going to Vaikuntha? What's the need of going to Goloka Vrindavan? If your motivation is to serve Krishna and simply engage in distributing Krishna's glories, chanting Krishna's glories, you do that business anywhere, everywhere. You're already back to Godhead. As we read in the purport, devotional service itself is in the transcendental position. Therefore, there is no question of asking for this special facility of going back to Godhead. The conclusion is that a pure devotee is not anxious to stop the repetition of birth and death, but is always eager to associate with other devotees who are engaged in chanting and hearing about the glories of the Lord. So in this way, we can consider how we've been handed the deepest truths of pure bhakti, and we have a chance for that. This should be our aspiration. Yes, chanting Hare Krishna to engage in Krishna's service, but not chanting Hare Krishna to engage in a particular service, because that's dictating to Krishna. The acharyas explain this fine point. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, when I'm chanting Hare Krishna, our aim should be whatever service Krishna wants. Let Krishna decide. Otherwise, it's selfish, as the acharyas explain. Krishna, I want to serve you in this way. When Krishna says, Sarva Dharmam Prichaja Mamekam Sharanam Vaja, he means, you take my plan. You take whatever service I give you. So we're seeing these different layers of bhakti in motivation for our chanting. Everyone knows, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. And now we hear that we're not dictating to Krishna about what service we should do. We're thankful for any service opportunity that Krishna arranges for us. And we're also hearing that we're not having a motivation for our chanting. The motivation for our chanting is not to go back to Godhead. Our motivation is, Krishna, wherever you want me to serve, my business will be the same wherever you put me. If you think I'm ready to go back to Godhead and you want me there, okay. Otherwise, Mama Janmini, Janmini Ishvare, Bhavatad Bhakti, Ahoy Tiki Tui. This is Mahaprabhu giving the party line. Birth after birth, I don't mind as long as I have service. So this is the motivation that our acharyas are passing down to us. As Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandara Chana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas Janame Janameho Eyabhila. Birth after birth, it's all right. Just let me be in the association of devotees who are glorifying Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, singing and distributing Krishna's glories. That is my motivation. So this is what we're aspiring for. And this kind of motivation will solve all our personal problems. And when our personal problems are solved, we can solve the world's problems. But we're not chanting Hare Krishna directly to solve the world's problems. We are chanting Hare Krishna directly to please Krishna's senses, to serve Krishna whatever way Krishna wants. So I thank you for your kind attention. Any questions, comments from our... Yes.
Haribol. Okay. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Not only a very educational class, but also entertaining, which doesn't hurt. Just that question is that for preaching, there's that principle, well, there are two principles. One is the yena kena, what is it? Manakrishna na seva yet. Somehow or another, we have to engage them in devotional service, which centers on chanting. And at the same time, in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 3, there are several verses that warn us that those who are really vidvan, those who are really intelligent, they don't disturb the minds of those who are attached to fruitive activities, even though such people are less intelligent, as it's soon described. Rather, he joshayat sarvakarmani, vidvan yukta samacharan, he dovetails their activities. So supposing there is, like Srila Prabhupada, he acceded to going to the United Nations and have participate in some vigil for world peace. Supposing there's some cause like world peace or something like that, and devotees are engaging people to chant the holy name, even though those people's chanting would be not yet pure because they're after some material benefit. But the devotee himself, isn't he free from the impurity if his motivation is to engage others?
Yes, of course. The devotee, the mature devotee, is not chanting for any material purpose, but he or she is seizing the opportunity that wherever people gather, we'll chant the holy names. But we're not thinking, this is going to stop the drought. This is going to stop the mudslides. This is going to stop the nuclear warfare directly. We're aiming at Krishna's pleasure, and that sorts everything out. But we'll take advantage of any opportunity where people meet to present and distribute the knowledge of bhakti to them. But what I was attempting to talk about today is our own motivation. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I'm just thinking, when we read in Krishna book, when Krishna was leaving from Vrindavan to Mathura, and all the gopis were stopping the path of Krishna, and they were not letting Krishna go to Mathura. So they were not, perhaps they were not thinking in a way that, okay, Krishna wants to go to Mathura, so let us be satisfied and do whatever Krishna say. But they wanted to associate with Krishna. So how do we understand that?
But that's also for Krishna's pleasure. Love of Krishna and separation gives Krishna the highest pleasure. Therefore, Krishna left. And he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only to taste that love of Krishna and separation, but also to distribute it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the taster and distributor of love of Krishna and separation. And Krishna is the enjoyer. They both are inseparable. Krishna as Gaura tastes and distributes love of Krishna and separation. Gaura as Krishna enjoys. Two, you could say roughly, two sides of the same coin. Both are the original personality of Godhead. Yes. She's asking that Krishna says a preacher is most dear to him. And she says the most dear activity is to engage in preaching.
For spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. So is it right to pray? Because for preaching, one needs adhikar. And is it right to pray to Krishna to so that we can also be an instrument in the service of Srila Prabhupada mission? Or we should pray that whatever service Krishna wants from us, we should engage?
What does Krishna say as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? As Krishna, he says, sarva dharma prichaja, abandon all varieties of what you think is dharma and just do what I say. That same Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he gives the same order, but it sounds different. Yadi Dhaka, Tadikohu, Krishna Upadesha. Ama Agya Guru Hoy Tami Desh. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, teach the science of Krishna. That is surrender to Krishna. So how do you navigate your way through all these complexities about pleasing Krishna for Krishna's pleasure? We take the desire of the spiritual master. In ISKCON, whether you're a guru or a disciple or both, you take the desires of Srila Prabhupada. And that way, you become dear to Krishna. Thank you very much. Thank you.